Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. This episode is somewhat of a landmark or milestone episode for the show. Today is our 150th episode, which is crazy to think about. Coming up this July, we'll have been doing this show for 4 years now. And I just want to start off by saying thank you. 150 episodes doesn't happen if nobody listens or nobody supports the show. And those of you who are listening, we made it here because of you. So thank you. Thanks for years of listening and your feedback and your support. Those of you who support us financially, prayerfully, all of you. Man, this wouldn't be happening if it weren't for you, and I'm so thankful for each of you. So I want you to know that this is, I never press record on any episode without thinking about those of you who make this possible. So thank you so much. Welcome to your 150th episode. And today I have a returning guest, someone who's been on the show a handful of times now, but is much more than just a guest of the show to me. She's very special. She's my mother, and I'd like to welcome her back to the show, Mom. Lori Katina, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Josh. Wow, I didn't realize it was 150 episodes.
Yeah, it is. At least I hope it is. I'm pretty sure it is. If not, I did that whole intro for nothing.
That's amazing. I didn't realize it had been even 4 years. So, yeah. Man, time flies.
We really started recording, I think like the first 10 episodes of the show were recorded between like March and June of 2021.
You were in your apartment.
Yep. And mm-hmm. I'm assuming you were one of those.
Yeah, I did one in your apartment. The first one. Okay. My first one.
Yeah. So It was around this time 4 years ago that we really started recording our first episodes. And then we launched the podcast in July of 2021, and now we're here. The show's been through several different studios and seasons and even platforms, and it's been a special thing that I count myself privileged to be a part of it. And so 150 episodes, I think it's appropriate that we have a special guest on the show. So, Mom, you are episode 150.
Wow. Pressure.
Why don't we start off? I'm assuming everyone kind of knows, but if they don't, who are you? A little bit about yourself, and what's your connection to the Katina family?
Well, my name is Lori Katina, and I'm the mother to the host of this show, Josh Katina. And Eli Katina is my other son. I am the wife of Joe Katina, the drummer of the Katinas. And we just celebrated 32 years of marriage. Two grown kids that are married with two lovely daughters-in-law, Amelia and Alexis. And of course, we can't forget the most precious prize is Josiah Brooks, our grandson, who's 2 years old, will be 2 years old in May. So,
well, thanks, Mom, and welcome back.
Thank you.
I just put in my head that last week your husband was on the show, and we spent time talking about 32 years of you guys celebrating your 32nd anniversary, and congrats again to
Thank you guys
for that. You went to Paris with him.
We did.
And we spent a lot of time talking about that, and I don't want to rob you the opportunity of talking about Paris. So while it's still fresh on your mind, let me just start there. From a perspective of a wife and a woman, and a mother and grandmother and all the things that you are. How was your time in Paris, France?
Absolutely amazing. It was beyond my expectations. I was nervous about going because I'd never been to Europe. And I really didn't know anything about Paris. My pickleball group, we kind of do a book club. We did. It's kind of slacking right now. But one of the books we read was about the Paris dressmaker. And I didn't even know anything about the Paris dressmaker. So I had to actually listen to it on audio and follow along because it had French words and there was just a lot of history to it. And it just, but the crazy thing is going to Paris, I saw some of the street signs that they referred to. And so that was kind of cool. But no, it was amazing. Amazing.
What is there? We'll try to be quick on Paris, but what is there any one like experience or adventure or just thing that you did that stood out the most to you as like the most memorable, like I'll remember this forever, or the most special, or was there anything that stands out to you?
Wow, there were so many things. I mean, my first day there, just I was in awe of the detail and the architecture of all the old buildings. But yet they just were so beautiful. We actually took a day tour. It was a 9-hour walking tour the second day we were there. And we went into this little small town called Montmartre, I think is how you say it. But it was basically closed because it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. So on our anniversary, was there on Thursday. And I told Dad, I said, I want to go up and experience Montmartre whenever it's alive. Mm. And so we braved the subway system and got through that and got up to Montmartre. And when you walk up the cobblestone streets, there's this huge cathedral at the top. And with it being our 32nd anniversary, we decided to go up into the cathedral and do some solitude and just sitting and being still and being quiet and reflecting on 32 years of marriage. And, you know, as Dad would say, it's beautiful and it's brutal, so that makes it brutal. And it was just such a sweet moment and a memorable moment to sit in that amazing chapel. It wasn't a chapel, but it was this huge cathedral, I guess you could say, and really felt the presence of God there. And so we didn't have any time frame or anything, and that was just such a special time to be able to sit and reflect and have a heart of gratitude for what we've been through, where we are and where we're going. And so then we left from there and we walked around and found the little town with all the artists that were out and painting. And we had charcuterie for lunch. And I bought an oil painting that is a picture, about an 8x10 picture of the little town and the cafe that we ate at. Mm-hmm. And we met the artist and took a picture with her. And then as we walked around, we found the guy playing the accordion with the black cat that sits on his accordion. And it was just such an amazing day. So I think that day, probably our anniversary, was the best day, you know. And then we stood in line for an hour and 40 minutes to go to this French restaurant. Couldn't tell you the name of it, but Joe just said, this better be good because we've stood in line for an hour and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. So good. It was great.
That sounds amazing. That sounds beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, what did Paris teach you, or what did France, or even just travel? Did you learn anything about the world or about yourself or mm-hmm. anything? What did that trip teach you?
It taught me that there's so much more out there outside of my little bubble. And there's so much beauty and detail in this world, even if you can't speak the language and you don't understand, you know, the systems or the culture, you're welcomed in these places. I felt very welcomed over there. And there's really no reason to fear of stepping out of your bubble, because that's kind of something that I struggle with, is fear. I like a plan. I want to feel safe. And I realized that, wow, I can do this, and I will do it again. Hmm. So
when you say that fear is something you struggle with, what do you mean by that? Like, because I think everyone mm-hmm. gets afraid mm-hmm. at certain times. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that fear is like, what is that?
Well, obviously fear is a God-given emotion, and fear can be used as a warning sign. But sometimes I feel as if fear is a character defect in me. Even though it is a core emotion with the way that I'm wired, it can be a defect to where it causes me to, I can go into shame, I can go into regret, I can go into critical, judgmental, mm-hmm. controlling. So fear. In this situation, I had to trust, you know, I would ask Dad, where are we staying? Where are we going? What are we doing? Because I want to feel safe. Mm-hmm. But I really just had to learn to trust and not allow fear be the driver. In fact, Dad gave me an amazing quote last week that said, "Fear is a welcome passenger, but never to be put in the driver's seat." Mm-hmm. And I chewed on that all day last Wednesday. And I thought, man, that is so good. I have allowed fear to sit in the driver's seat in many cases. And if I would have done that with this trip back in January when Dad asked me if I wanted to go, I said to him, he said, "You want to go to Paris?" And I'm like, sure. But I wasn't like, you know, swinging from the rafters and all excited and stuff. I was, ooh, this is kind of scary. And if I would have said, you know, I think I'll just pass on this trip, I would have missed out on a lot.
Yeah. I'll give you a quote that I've heard that has stuck with me in times where I've been facing fear. I wouldn't say that fear... Well, it's not about me, but I think, I don't know who said it, and I don't really even know the first time I heard it, but in my mind, always the opposite of fear is courage and bravery and strength. Mm. Mm. This quote says, "What is the opposite of fear is love." Mm. Love is the opposite of fear. You cannot be afraid and have love, and you cannot love out of fear. And I don't know why that resonated with me so much, is that I think maybe it's a young man thing when I was growing up, and don't be afraid, be courageous, be strong, and all of those things are good. But to me, conquering my fear with love has been more powerful to me than anything else, more than me trying to be brave or be courageous or be strong, but just to be loving, even in the times that I'm afraid. And I think it's appropriate. You were in the city of love, and even though they might have been scary, and you were celebrating love with your husband, I think that's special. And so, well, awesome, Mom. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
I think... obviously, I know you as my mom, and I knew it was a stretch for you to. It's a stretch for you to go on that trip, and I would have been angry if you hadn't.
You would have taken my seat, probably.
No, I would have been mad. I don't know.
I have to say, Alexis and Amelia were huge cheerleaders of cheering me on to go. So yeah. that helped. I'm like, okay, they believe in me. They believe in Paris. So I got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, millions of people do it every year. I know you can do it. So I'm glad you went. And do you think...
Well, then you got planes falling out of the sky, you know, a month before we're supposed to leave.
I have my own theories on that. Have you heard... Because I've noticed that I am hearing a lot more stories about just like air traffic incidents.
Yeah.
I heard that I have no data. This is, I have no data. So I could be totally wrong on this, but I feel that it's possible and even likely that there's not really, it's not that more planes are falling out of the sky than normal. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's just getting more news attention right now for whatever reason.
Probably. Yeah.
I don't know. I
and
could
it's
be totally
still
wrong.
More safe being in the air than it is on the interstate.
Yeah, I mean,
so
that's what they tell us anyways.
That's what
I don't
they
know.
Say.
So I feel like it's one thing I've noticed in myself over the last, it's probably 5 years, ever since COVID, is my trust for the quote-unquote experts is way down. So I don't know what to believe on a lot of these things when they say, oh, flying is safer than any other form of travel. I'm like, well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, and we get in our cars every day, and we trust the person that's next to us or behind us or coming towards us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, in a way, that's... a fear of the unknown. You don't know what's going to be on the road, what's going to be at the airport whenever you go.
Right.
And I think the, for someone who struggles with fear, uncertainty can be a barrier to a lot of things and can be a trigger for a lot of fears. And I think the practice that you can make is trying to accept that there's just some things I can't know.
Right.
I don't really know if planes are more dangerous or not. What I do know is I want to go to Paris. So I can either fly or take a boat. And if I take a boat, it'll take me a week to get there. So you can only control the things you can't control. And so maybe that's something that I find I'm still learning. 2020 is still teaching me lessons even today. That 'cause that was a time when trust and certainty were at an all-time low, at least for me.
Well, when you say for you the opposite of fear is love, for me the opposite of fear is faith. And I don't mean to sound religious, but it truly is a step of faith.
It's
a walk of faith to get in your car. It's a walk of faith to get on a plane. It's a walk of faith to get in an elevator. You know, so... Man, if you're fearful, you're going to just be robbed of so many opportunities. And, you know, I don't, you know, sit around or curl up in a fetal position all the time. I'm just very aware, and I'm recognizing when my fear is unhealthy. And when my fear is unhealthy, that's when I rise to the occasion and go the opposite of what it's telling me to do.
Let me ask you this on the other end of the spectrum. Where are you when you feel the safest?
Where am I when I feel the safest? I would say with Dad. When I'm with Dad.
Yeah.
For sure.
Just?
Anywhere. I know that he's a protector. I know he has my best interest. I know he knows me. And because he knows me, I feel safe.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
I think having a safe space is important. And, you know, I feel like, where was I? Oh, we had a meeting. Katina Ministries had a meeting maybe a week or so ago. And the guy we were meeting with, Sean Dean, you met him. Yeah,
I met him.
Sean was talking about, you know, inside of our circle where we feel safe, that's a good place to be. But outside of that circle, outside of your safety, outside of your comfort zone is what he was talking about. That's where the magic happens. And I agree with Sean. But I also do think the safe space is just as important as this part outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen and I've been around people, and I'm not saying this from a judgmental place, I'm saying this from a place of sympathy, where I know those people, they don't have a safe place. Mm. They don't have what you have in Dad or what I have. I would say my safe place is with Alexis. I'd also say my safe place is here in the studio when I'm by myself and making music. I feel so safe and content.
Yeah,
I can't imagine walking through life not having those things and just always being always out of my comfort zone. I don't know. Maybe there are some people who can do that. But I don't think humans are meant to be like that. I think we're supposed to have a safe place. We're supposed to have a place where we can lay our head down.
A retreat.
And just...
a place just of rest.
Relax. Yeah.
I agree.
So I'm... And I see that with you. And I think Dad would probably say the same thing if I asked him, where do you feel the safest? And so that's a tribute to your guys' 32 years of marriage, which I know is hard work and... compromise and sacrifice and also joy and intimacy and growth and all of those things, they all belong. And so I think you guys have earned the fruit that you are reaping now.
Thank you.
Okay, let me ask you this. So I guess, have I had you on since... I don't think we have had you on since you turned 60.
No.
did we talk about that when the last time you came on?
No, I think we were more... I think I was going to become a grandparent.
No, you definitely already had... Josiah had already been born when you and Dad came on. I remember because we talked about him.
Maybe we touched a little bit on turning 60. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, you turned 60 last year.
And I've already forgot. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. No. Back in October.
That is a big birthday. And kind of, I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, like those decade birthdays, I'm coming up on a decade birthday here in a little bit. I feel like that can be kind of a good place to, at least in your mind, kind of shift from one season to the next. And I'm wondering, as you are just starting your 60s, what are the things that are new for you, new challenges and new joys, and what are the things you're looking forward to in this decade of your life?
Well, that is a loaded question. Turning 60 has been really great. Grand, I guess I could say. And leading up to it, I was probably afraid. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm turning 60, so I'm getting closer to the end of my life than I am the beginning of my life. And I was afraid at first, not, you know, for lack of a better word, afraid of entering into my 60s, probably a couple months before. I was just really thinking about it and contemplating it. And then once it happened, I'm like, you know, the day after my birthday, I'm like, well, I still feel the same as I did before. And I don't feel 60. What is 60 supposed to feel like? I don't know. I have never been there. I'm there now. I don't feel a whole lot different than I did in my 40s, probably. I probably feel better in my 60s because I'm, you know, no longer having kids. I'm not raising kids. I'm able to enjoy my grandson, Josiah. And that's even a whole different thing. It's so much better I mean, I love you and Eli, don't get me wrong, but having your grandkids is better than having your own kids. It's just a totally different thing, and at least for me it is. But 60 has been good. It's been grand, and I'm looking forward to what's happening in the next couple of months. So,
and do you care? Can we talk about what's happening in the next couple of months?
Sure. Yeah.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, where do I start? How do I say this without? There's a big story, but there is a story behind my decision. But I am, I'm bringing to an end a career of 41 years of being a hairdresser, and I'm hanging my scissors up.
And that is in the next couple of months. I've talked to you a little bit about this, so I know how much thought has gone into your choice, and not something that was an easy place to arrive at. Can I ask you, what was the thing or things that made you start considering, like, am I... Not the things that made you decide to finally say, I'm done, but what were the things that kind of sparked your brain to say, like, is this what I want to be spending my time doing still?
Unfulfilled. It's a paycheck. I love my clients and I love my people that I do, but I'm just burned out. I'm ready for a change. I just have so many things swirling in my head right now, so I apologize if this is kind of jumbled, but just not more drudgery. Oh, I gotta go to work. Monday nights I was like, oh, I gotta work tomorrow. And I have the cream of the crop job. I work 2 days a week from my home. I'm my own boss. I set my own schedule, and I just was not fulfilled.
Yeah. Has it always felt like that for 41 years?
Well, when I started in a salon, I was 19, and at 22, I said, I do not want to be doing this when I'm 40, because I worked with a gal who was 40 and went back to nursing school. And I was like, I don't want to be doing that. I'm going to figure out the next thing long before 40, and I'm 60. So I did it for 20 more years than what I said.
So you didn't answer my question, though. Has it always felt like drudgery to you? Do you feel like the last 41 years of work has been just dragging your feet into the salon?
No, but it has been more unfulfilling than it's been fulfilling. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what else to do.
No, I think...
I went right into cosmetology school after high school. And when I went for the interview at the school, my mom looked at me and said, you're going to finish this. And I'm like, okay. And my best friend growing up, her mom worked out of her home, and that was my inspiration.
Yeah.
And it's funny, her name's Lori, too. She was my inspiration. And so it was something that I was always intrigued as a little girl when I would go with my mom to get her hair cut or whatever. I would sit and watch, and I was just always mesmerized. How do they do that? And so it was something that I was always interested in. And looking at it now, it was such a gift that God gave to me, because when you were born, my plan was to go back to work part-time. And so when I was holding you in the hospital that first night, I looked at Dad and said, I'm done. And he just about fell off the couch that he was sitting on. And And I said, I will do whatever to make this work to where I can stay home and be a mom and raise my kids. And so I took a few weeks off after having you, but I started cutting hair out of the home. Mm-hmm. And there came a time, well, it was 20 years ago, before we moved into the house that we live in now, I had told Dad, I can't do this anymore in the home. You know, I'm doing it in the kitchen. People are putting their head down the garbage disposal. There's hair everywhere. You know, I had to disinfect my kitchen before I could even cook dinner. And then we found the house that we're in. So then the house that we're in, obviously, it has this small little studio. It was supposed to be a library, but it was perfect for a salon. So that rejuvenated me. And that, for the past 20 years, it really allowed me to be able to be at home, to be at your sporting events, to be at school activities, to travel with Dad, to homeschool you and Eli. It allowed that for a few years. So it's been good. There's been highs and lows, but I can't say it's been exactly just life-giving to me for 41 years.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. And I think it's probably not unique. I think there's a lot of people who maybe they don't necessarily love their job. I would say less people love their jobs than don't love their jobs. Does that make sense? But there's, you know,
I love to serve.
Sure.
I love to give to people. Mm-hmm. I love, like, when I travel with Dad and uncles, if I'm working the merch table, I love making connections with people and talking with people. Mm-hmm. But there was just something missing. I can't tell you what it was. Yeah. I honestly can't. Other than maybe an inner voice that needed to be quieted.
Mm-hmm. I hope I don't do this too much. I've been reading through the Bible in a year, which I've tried before. I've never finished, but like the first 3 months of the year essentially are spent reading through like the story of Genesis and Exodus, like the God's people's journey into the promised land. And just us having this conversation now is making me think about the time when the Hebrews were in the wilderness and, you know, they were being led by God through the wilderness for 40 years. And they weren't too happy about it. They weren't everything. God was providing everything that they needed. But they weren't necessarily partying about, yeah, we're out here in the wilderness for 40 years, just wandering. And one thing that stands out to me about that is that even though maybe they weren't at the promised land yet, I still believe that they were where they were supposed to be because God was with them. God never left them in their time wandering in the wilderness. And I think it's important to remember that even in times where in our life that we don't feel like you said, we don't feel fulfilled. I'm sure there was not much fulfillment in the wilderness. God is still there. And God is, you can be in a place, you can be shy of the place that you want to be, but still be where God needs you to be at that moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and I was just saying how it's not just about doing hair. There's so much more to it. It really was a place, too, of ministry. I mean, you've heard it said before, I'm not just a hairdresser. I'm a therapist. In fact, I had a little girl say, are you a therapist? And I'm like, no. I said, why do you ask that? And she said, well, you just ask good questions, you know. But it's more than just doing hair. It was. And so there was fulfillment in that.
So I grew up with a salon in my house. And I remember I've seen people crying. I've seen people laughing. I've seen people fighting. I've seen there's a lot that goes on in a home salon, and I know you were at the center of all of that for many years, and I think you were where God needed you to be.
Absolutely.
What's the thing, this may be the same answer, but what's the thing you're going to miss about being a hairdresser?
I don't know, because I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang them up the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm just been basically telling clients. I started yesterday telling clients.
What were those responses like?
Well, first of all, I prefaced it with, this is not an April Fool's joke.
Okay.
Because it was April 1st. Yes. And most, I would say all of them, well, they've been shocked and very, very supportive, huh. Very excited. Very, yeah.
I'm sure.
Very, very supportive. I had one guy today, of all things, he was a therapist. He's no longer, he's retired. I told him, and he travels about an hour. He golfs up here at your golf course.
Okay.
And so he schedules his haircut around his golfing.
Wow.
And so I told him, he says, you can't do that. You can't do this to me. And I said, well, Larry, there is somebody out there. And he goes, I've only had three people cut my hair my whole life. And he's like, I don't know, 70-something.
That is awesome. It's time to find the fourth, Larry.
No kidding.
That's funny. What's the scariest part about it?
Right now, there's nothing scary about it because I am so confident and so much at peace with this decision that I made.
Wow.
That came out of kind of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And where's that peace? Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, it's got to be God. Because, yeah, I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing that I can fabricate myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the opposite of peace? Fear.
Yeah.
So yeah. I knew I heard God when I decided to do it.
Mm. Katina Ministries does a thing every month called the Verse of the Month.
Mm-hmm. I got the email today, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, well, this month's Verse of the Month will be familiar to you. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
No way.
And I know that is...
Wow.
A life verse for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe we can wrap up here. That, since as long as I can remember, that's been one of the verses mm-hmm. that you have clung to and through many seasons mm-hmm. of life. Mm-hmm. And the verse is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Lean not on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, in this season of your life, what does that verse mean for you?
Well, I've come to realize that I've been leaning on my own understanding as opposed to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I have been leaning on my own understanding, especially when it comes to my career. And so now when I step back and look at this of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes decisions don't make sense. Mm-hmm. But if you lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways, if I acknowledge him, he will make my path straight.
Yeah.
And I know that my future it's going to look a little bit different, but it's going to be same. I'm not going to be just sitting around watching Netflix series and eating bonbons. I'm actually studying for my real estate exam and I'm going to partner with Dad.
That is awesome.
And see where that goes.
That's so good. This is not a surprise to me, but I'm excited for that. And, maybe a fun question to end the show. Is there a trip that you're dreaming of with now that you don't have clients, or at least hairdressing clients to take care of, is there a trip that you're like, maybe you've never gone before, or it's a place you really want to go back to that you're looking forward to?
I want to go back to Europe.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what part. When I checked out of the hotel, the guy behind the desk, he said, well, were you able to get in the outskirts of Paris, or did you just stay in the city? And I said, no, we just stayed in the city. So I now that I kind of have the lay of the land and a feel of how it works, you know, you can hop on a train and be in another country. That doesn't seem scary and overwhelming to me. That seems exciting and adventurous.
Yeah.
So I would like to go back there.
Back to you.
Know? Yeah, and I think that's the thing I realized too on this trip is that here in the United States, we have so much beauty naturally. The oceans, the lakes, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, the flowers, the everything. We don't have the huge, grand, architectural, detailed, the sculptures, the history, just all that. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to just seeing more and learning more and appreciating more because there is so much more. And
well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I believe you're going to travel to places maybe you're not even thinking about right now.
In fact, before I left, one of my clients said, oh, just go get on a train and go to Luxembourg. And I'm like, where and what is Luxembourg? Oh, it's just this cute little town. And I'm like, okay. And I just couldn't do it because I didn't know where. Oh, I could now. Yeah. I could now. Yeah.
It's I've actually always wanted to go to Luxembourg.
Really?
I think the term for it is a micronation. So
it's tiny.
It's a country on it's an independent state, right in between. I think it's right in between France and Belgium, maybe, or France and Germany, or something like that. I've always thought it was cool. I've learned about Luxembourg when I was really little because I remember you bought me a Guinness Book of World Records at a book fair, school book fair. Do you remember that one? It was like gold and glittery.
Yes, I do.
Luxembourg was, at that time, it was known as the wealthiest nation in the world per capita.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, that's how I was thought, I'm going to go to Luxembourg, see where all the rich people are.
Well, my client says it's just a sweet little place. Yeah. So maybe next time.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll go to Luxembourg together.
There you go.
I appreciate you taking the time to do this and just your honesty and vulnerability. And I'm really want to reiterate how proud of you I am.
And thank you.
Let you know I believe in you. And there's nothing that scares you. I'm not afraid at all for you. I'm really excited.
Thank you.
I think this next season, this step that you're taking is a step towards a new fulfillment that you've never experienced before. And so,
so much peace and just so much excitement.
Yeah.
At first I was excited and scared, but I'm at that point to where I'm just very peaceful and I'm excited.
Well, maybe in a year or so, we'll have you back on, or maybe before that, and we'll see how it's going.
Hopefully, I will have passed the test.
There you go. Well, I love you, Mom.
I love you too, honey. Thanks for having me.
To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.